So we're going to continue with engaging God today and looking at Ketubah. So everything about this is about relationship. God wants to have a relationship with us, and he wants that relationship to go deeper. Because he wants to engage the earth from heaven through us as a gateway, so that in our relationship we can help others establish that relationship with self and bring restoration back from the whole of the created order, which is groaning, waiting for sons of God to be revealed so that we can bring order and God's purpose back into it. So we've been looking at the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body, looking at various aspects of that, and we're now on to the stage where we're looking at four areas of that, four chambers of the heart, which, as we've dealt with familiar spirits and the blockages within our spirit and soul, or outside of our spirit and soul, we're now looking at the garden of the heart, the dance floor, the soaking room, bridal chamber, which is all to do with intimacy and within ourselves engaging God in deeper levels of intimacy so we can understand him, know him, and know ourselves, enable us to outwork that. And we're looking at Ketubah, which is going to be another session next week. So the whole purpose of this is so the river of life flowing out of our first love gate, as we surrender our spirit to God, engage in the yoke of Jesus, see God on the throne in our spirit, seat of rest in government, then everything flows out. And the river of life flows out to engage the world around us. Ezekiel 47 describes that. A trickle, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, until it's completely out of depth and bringing life wherever it goes. The life of God's kingdom. So God's desire is a marriage relationship with us, his people. Everyone he's created, he wants to have a relationship with. So the Ketubah is a marriage contract made under a hooper or a covering cloud of God's presence. Jesus went to the cross to prepare a place for us in him and as a marriage chamber in us so that he could live in us. So we have this two levels of intimacy where we're in him and he's in us. So he was resurrected and came back for us so that we could have a wedding. You can't have a wedding without a bride and a bridegroom. So Jesus did not stay in the grave. He came back so that he could facilitate for us engaging in this relationship. So at the wedding, there was step five. We looked at the four previous steps. The hooper, and that represents what happened at Pentecost, which again was a representation of what happened with Israel and the church. So the whole point of Pentecost was that the oil of the Holy Spirit flows through the leavened bread, and that was the only time leavened bread was used, and they broke the bread open and poured the oil into it. So God uses leavened or weak, imperfect people, but a people that he loves and died for. So even though we may have messed up our whole lives, Jesus died for us while we were messed up. He didn't wait for us to get better so that he could accept us, because we can't. You know, if the pass mark for engaging God is 100%, we may have 99.5%, but it's not going to ever be 100. So we have to admit that we can never be perfect enough for God, and he receives imperfect people. But then when he receives them, he helps us to become like him. So God wants to marry us, leaven and all, which is really great. So God wants an intimate relationship with a group of people who are slaves to something. Because we've all been in slavery to sin, death, fear, something in our lives. God wants to reconcile and restore a broken relationship. In a marriage relationship, he can then set everyone free from the restrictions and bondages that hinder and limit us. It's only in the relationship that those things can be set free, because we have to know the truth so that the truth can set us free. And knowing the truth comes in intimacy and relationship. So what are you a slave to? What's your slave driver? What freedom do you need in your life right now? Whatever it is, the solution to that can be found in a relationship with Jesus. A personal relationship with Jesus, the truth. And Jesus is the truth, the reality. And we may have many alternative realities that we're living in, which don't match up to the truth of that perfect reality that Jesus has created for us. And he wants us to experience that perfect reality and know the truth so that we can be set free to live in the benefit of that truth. So when we read John 14, read it again in the context of God's desire for an intimate marriage relationship. Because the way John 14, and John 14 is probably my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. And it's fallen out a number of times of my Bible and I've stuck it back in because I've read it over and over again. And every time I engage it, I find deeper truth. So when you read John 14, you get that context and read it in that context. So John 14:3, if I go and prepare a place for you, where was he going? To the cross. I will come again in resurrection and receive you to myself. So he's now brought us into a relationship that where I am, you may be also. And I am is not a physical place. It's not heaven. Although there's an aspect that we can engage in heaven, but actually he's talking about relationship. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus was talking about establishing or re-establishing a relationship with God as our Father because he created a way. John 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? And this is the key understanding of it all. This is the relationship that he went to prepare us to have and be in a relationship with him as I am. John 14:19, in a little while, the world will no longer see me. So Jesus was basically saying he was going to go to the cross and the world would not see him after that point, but you will see me. So after the cross, he came back in resurrection only to his disciples. And you will live also, because I live. In that day, the day he came back and met with them, you will know that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. And that was the relationship that he was looking to establish. That was the marriage that he was looking to have. Intimacy. So then John 14:21, he who has my commandments. So now you don't have to read that as a set of rules, traditions of men. Read it as the ketubah. He who has my ketubah and keeps them is the one who loves me. Well, of course, marriage is about love and relationship. It's not about keeping a set of rules. So now we can understand that he was talking about not an old covenant aspect of law, but a relationship based on a ketubah. And he says, he who keeps my commandments and he loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So here is the promise that he's going to reveal himself even more when we engage in a ketubah relationship of marriage with him. So don't think rules. Think ketubah relationship. And that will free us up from the bondage of trying to earn and keep things good. Because we can never earn it. It's given to us as a free gift. We just need to participate in it. So John 14:23, again, read this in this context. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. What word? The ketubah. Well, of course, we'd want to keep a ketubah that we've written and he's written in agreement in our relationship. So this is not the traditional words that people think we should keep. And it's really simple, basically summed up in one word, love. And it then goes on, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home or our abode with him. They'll come and live within us. That intimate place of marriage. So keeping his word is enjoying the power and the benefits of the ketubah. It's not being slave to a religious system or religious ritual. It's being free to come into the benefit of our relationship with God in freedom. Matthew 22:37 sums it up. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So everything that had been ritualized and traditionalized in the old covenant was now being reinterpreted in a new relationship of love. All you have to do is love God and love each other. That stops all the individual little things that we have to try and figure out how to do, because everything will be outworked through love. And if we're operating in true love, none of those other things will be a problem. So everything under the old covenant, all the law, the prophets, is now completed and realized in a new covenant of love, a new agreement that's been made. So all the covenants and promises and mandates that God gave, and we read them in the Old Testament, if you like, Bible, all those things are realized in Christ. They all belong to us in the new covenant. So the agreements he made with Adam, with Noah, and Abraham, and Moses, and David are all now fulfilled in the new covenant. So to make a ketubah, we need to understand the new covenant. Understand the relationship that we're now in. Understanding that will become the basis of God's promises and purpose, and it will enable us to have that new covenant perspective as the foundation for our ketubah. So when we come to a ketubah, well, what do we put in it? It's not just a whim or wishful thinking or just selfish desires. It will come out of an understanding of who we are in relationship with God. So in the Old Covenant, Israel made or cut a covenant or an agreement with God, and they continually broke it. They needed yearly atonement sacrifices to keep them in a place where they could be safe with God. In the New Covenant, Jesus makes or cuts the agreement with God. We didn't do that. He did. That, what Jesus did, becomes a perpetual sacrifice. Not just something that happens every year, but something that happened once and continues forever. So therefore, the New Covenant cannot be broken. The Old Covenant was broken continually by weak, imperfect people. So God had to fix it and make it better. And in light of looking at all us and looking at us and seeing how weak we are and how unable we are to fulfill something in our own strength, he made a better way. And he made a way that cannot now be broken, because Jesus made the covenant with God. We just have to be in relationship with him. So I want to read a few scriptures around that. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that you were formerly Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. In the Old Covenant, you had Jewish people who had a relationship with God based on that Old Covenant. They could draw other people into that relationship. And you had those that were called the Gentiles, those that weren't in relationship with God through that Old Covenant. And they were called uncircumcision or circumcision, because circumcision was the sign of the covenant. Fortunately, we don't have to be circumcised to have the sign of the covenant. Now, it's our hearts that get circumcised, not the flesh. And then it goes on to say, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, that wasn't a perspective that God was going to allow to continue. He wanted everybody to come into relationship with him. So then there is a but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. So we've been brought into a relationship. Verse 18, and through him we both, and there's a lot of boths here, and what it's talking about is the old and new covenant people becoming one. So there was a distinction in that there were Jews and Gentiles, and now there's just a both. Both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. So we're all now part of God's ecclesia, in relationship together. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the capstone, in whom the whole building is fitted together and is growing into a holy temple for God. Because God wants to dwell amongst us. In us as individual, in the sense that we are houses of God, but also the household of God can be seen as a corporate thing, in that corporately, God wants to come and dwell within us when we come and gather. So it's really important that we gather and understand how this functions. So we're just going to see various aspects of this. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You no longer have to work. And dead works are trying to earn it for yourself. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, and that those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. This isn't based on something which was just written in the Old Testament. This is based on God's eternal perspective and desire for us. Hebrews 6:17. In the same way, God desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose. God has never changed his purpose. He's always wanted a relationship with a people, with children, with sons, who will establish the whole of his government in the created order. That's his purpose. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So the fact that God doesn't change his purpose and we're heirs of those promises is an anchor. That's a hope that we can put our trust in. Not a wishful thinking hope, but a firm expectation. And that becomes what a ketubah is, a firm expectation. A hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil. Because Jesus has gone into heaven to prepare heaven for us to be able to engage, not after we die, but there now, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Not after the order of Aaron, which was the earthly priesthood, but a heavenly one, a royal priesthood, kings and priests, which is what we've been called to engage in now, a royal priesthood. So Hebrews 7:22, so much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Because his blood was shed and his blood atoned for all sin and sickness, he has become the guarantee of a better covenant, a better agreement. Hebrews 8:6, now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Those are the things we can put into our ketubah, the better promises. So everything is now possible because of the better new covenant established by the blood of Jesus. I only have to be in him, and he has to be in me. Now that is a free gift that comes by faith through grace. So if I deny myself and take up the cross and follow him, everything is available to me. His grace, his mercy, his love, in righteousness and justice, the foundation of his kingdom throne, is all available to me. I just have to stop trying to do it for myself. I have to stop and deny my right to follow the pathway of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if I keep following that pathway, I'm having to do it apart from God. So I choose to be a living sacrifice, so I don't have to do it myself. It frees me completely from having to fulfill the obligations of the law. Because Christ has fulfilled those obligations for me. And in relationship with him, of course, I'm going to want to love him and do everything that pleases him as he loves me and wants to give me the best of everything. So I no longer have to follow that humanistic pathway, the knowledge of good and evil, which was offered to mankind by Satan as a way of not needing God. Well, it didn't work out too well. And we all got to a point in our lives where we see, actually, we do need God. And without God, everything is impossible. But with him, everything becomes possible. So now I'm on an eternal pathway, the pathway of the tree of life. And that contains continual fruitfulness. It never ceases to be fruitful. I can become gentle and humble in heart, yoked to Jesus in relationship in first love, as I'm in intimacy with him. I know who I am within God's eternal purpose, and therefore I can trust him. I don't have to try and work it out myself. A lot of us got to a point where we didn't trust anyone else because we've been hurt, damaged, let down, disappointed by people. So we've become hard-hearted and often, well, I'm not trusting anybody. Now we have to enter into a relationship with God where we have to say, I trust you. But we need to understand what it is that he's done to enable us to receive that trust and to have that trust. So I'm now in his name. I have the power of his attorney. I'm a son of God. So he's my priority and I'm the apple of his eye. That's what the Bible says. I'm in his heart and he's in my heart. So the ketubah is my agreement to trust him totally. Now, if you can't make a ketubah because you don't trust him, then you can deal with the issues of why you don't trust him. What are the things that are causing us not to be able to trust God fully? And some of that is probably the religious ideas that have been promoted by religion rather than the relationship which has been given to us through Jesus. So what do we put in our ketubah? Everything that will bring about the fulfillment of our eternal destiny. Everything. The expectation of the availability of all the resources that will enable us to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. It then becomes the foundational truth and the reality from which we can live, and then we can frame our lives according to it. We can actually dictate and frame the circumstances in which we live, because that's the power that he's given us within his promises. So Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. That becomes the basis of our mandate. That is what we've been commissioned to do and empowered to do. And it can form the basis of my expectations within the relationship that God's given. I'm blessed by God, so I expect him to empower me to succeed and prosper to the highest level in everything he's called me to do. So the ketubah is made on the basis of my destiny scroll, that which was agreed with my spirit in eternity in God's heart. So we need to understand who it is that God created and what it is that he's created us to do. Psalm 139:16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So there was an agreement that our spirit made with God. Because of the fall, we separated an understanding and memory of that. Because we were separated from God and our soul was separated from our spirit. So as we work to reintegrate everything and bring soul and spirit back into relationship, our spirit and God back into relationship, then everything then can be outworked according to that which was agreed in eternity. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. So we need to understand how God thinks about us and all the wonders of every day. Every day he has thoughts which are in alignment with our eternal destiny. We just have to engage him. So the more we engage God in intimacy, the more of the vast sum of his thoughts about us get revealed, day by day by day by day. God will probably not show you the whole of your scroll of destiny in one hit, because you'll probably be overwhelmed, and B, you'll probably then try and figure out, how do I do this? But if you do it each day, you only have to deal with today. You know, a lot of you are familiar with one day at a time, one step at a time. That's all we need to do with God. One day in relationship at a time. And Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has got enough stuff of its own. Just deal with today. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. The only reason we're worrying is because we're trying to figure out how to do it and what might happen, based in fear and in the wrong pathway. So we can find our true identity and the blueprint that contains the scroll for our lives in relationship with him, and produce our ketubah from that context. So our ketubah is about our expectations of our relationship with God and our destiny and purpose within that relationship. Everything's to do with relationship. So in relationship, we seek first his kingdom and righteousness. And righteousness in this context just means out of our first love for him. And then all God's promises are available to us. So we are in him and in his name. And he's in us. So then you read John 14 again. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Again, this demonstrates the relationship of the commandment, which is to love. And if we find that love and we know who we are in him, and we have the power of being in his name, it's really easy to love if we don't let our soul get in the way. But we have to deal with the soul, because the soul is about broken relationships and broken love. Because most of us have not had good relationships where love has been a fulfillment of how God expected it to be. It's been imperfect people trying to love each other on the basis of brokenness. And that creates a huge amount of problems for us, which then we can be healed and restored and brought back into wholeness. So we can have any promise that we find in the Word of God, in any personal prophecy that we've been given, in our blueprint, in a dream and vision that God's given us, they all belong to us and we can add them to our ketubah. So then John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now, we have sort of a wrong understanding of what peace is, because we think it's an absence of mental problems. Well, I've got peace of mind, so I'm cool. I'm okay. Well, it goes way, way beyond that. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So the world offers a peace, which is an absence of war, if you like. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So we cannot make our ketubah out of a troubled heart and fear, because you'll put things in there based on fear. Well, I need all this stuff because if I don't have it, I'm going to run out, which will not be the correct way of producing a ketubah, because you'll be looking at God as holding things back from you rather than releasing them to you because he loves you. So it's really important that we understand the peace, the wholeness that he promises, that our whole ketubah can be formed in that peace, in the expectation of wholeness. God's desire is restoration of relationship, and that's the basis of our confidence in the ketubah and to make a ketubah. It's all about relationship. So the ketubah becomes our basis of trading or covenant exchange. God has made a covenant that we can work. See, in a covenant, two parties came together to benefit each other. And in the Old Testament, they would kill an animal, walk between the blood in a figure of eight, and they would exchange coats, and they would then offer to, in relationship, provide for each other. So if you had a two tribes, one a warrior tribe and one a farmer tribe, when you made a covenant, the farmer tribe could call on the warrior tribe whenever it needed protection. The warrior tribe could call on the farmer tribe whenever it needed food. And they had an agreement of mutual benefit. So they could operate an exchange on that. I'm exchanging my food for protection. We can do that with God on the basis of our ketubah. What we put in it, we can actually exchange and we can commit. All we have to do is agree with his ketubah for us, which is our destiny, and then we can outwork that. So we trust him by surrendering to our destiny. He provides, protects, empowers, blesses us to prosper and succeed to that highest level. We just have to trust him. Now, Jesus' ketubah, and I found this really helpful, as like Jesus writing a letter to us in Bible verses that explains who he is as the living word. So as I read these verses out, I want to encourage you to see this is Jesus writing this as a letter to you. And he signs it as his commitment into the marriage relationship with his bride. So there's a whole load of promises that Jesus will speak. And they're foundational truths and promises we can rely on. So 2 Corinthians 1:20 is the basis of this. For as many are the promises of God in Christ or in him, they are yes. Not no, but yes. Therefore, also, through him is our amen. We have to say amen, or so be it, to come into all the promises that he's made. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So God has given us in our hearts the Spirit as a pledge, as a guarantee that we are going to come into all the promises of God. Because if we've got the best promise, then all the others are just a outworking of that relationship. So read this as a promise. And all the scriptures are there, but I'm not going to read the scriptures out. You can see those. I have called you by your name and you are mine. Before I formed you, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. You did not choose me, I chose you. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Because you are precious to me and honored, I love you. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I will continue my faithfulness to you. How can I abandon you? My love for you is too strong. I love you so much I hung on the cross at Calvary. I died for you, and if you believe in me, you will have everlasting life. Can a woman forget her own baby and not love the child she bore? Yet, even should she forget, I will never forget you. I cannot forget you. See, I have graven you in the palm of my hands. For I, the Lord your God, am holding you by the right hand. I am with you always until the end of the age. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in me. When you walk through the valley of the shadows of death, do not be afraid, because I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. I will lead you in the path of righteousness. I will give you peace in the midst of the storm, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I give you, which will pass all understanding and shall keep your heart and mind. When you lie down, do not be afraid. Your sleep shall be sweet. My love for you will keep your dwelling safe. Beloved, my eyes are upon you, and I will give you hope, for I am merciful. You will have access to my grace and rejoice in my hope while sharing in the glory of my Father. I will give to you joy and peace. You may have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. The mountains may depart and the hills may be shaken, but my steadfast love for you will never end. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, I will lead you into solitude, and there I will speak tenderly to your heart. I will be true and faithful. I will show you constant love and make you mine forever. I will keep my promise, and you will know me as never before. The gift of peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. I am who I am. I am the Lord your God. Signed, the bridegroom, Jesus. The question is, will you sign on behalf of the bride? Do you want to enter into a relationship where Jesus would say, I have found the one in whom my soul delights? And we would say, I have found the one in whom my soul delights. That's the intimacy of relationship that Jesus wants with us. An intimacy that goes way beyond anything the world could offer, because he has a desire, and he's written that letter. And you could write probably hundreds of letters from the Word of God, taking scriptures that are precious to you, that he's spoken to you directly, and you could take them and you can make them the basis of the promises that he's made to you. So your ketubah will enable you to frame your life, not be subject to the circumstances around you. So I'd encourage you again over the next few weeks, spend some time engaging with God about your ketubah. Whether you're engaging with him about the new covenant or whether it's about your destiny and your eternal scroll, begin to formulate it so that when we come to present our ketubah before him, we can enter into that new covenant marriage relationship with him. So we're going to encourage you just to spend a few minutes just coming into that place of intimacy, that place of rest. We're going to use Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now I'd encourage you to close your eyes, engage your imagination, the eyes of your heart, and invite Jesus, the shepherd, to lie down with you in the garden of your own heart, in that green pasture. Picture that green pasture. Lie down and relax and enjoy his presence and share with him and talk with him and listen to him and ask him things about the promises that he's made and enter into an intimacy. So by faith, just choose. Maybe you've never engaged with Jesus before. Maybe you've never entered through that door. Maybe you've never invited him to come and live within you. You can make that choice right now. Just open up the door of your life and invite him to come. And invite him into that relationship with you where you surrender. Just open your heart to him and allow him to speak those words of love, that love song that he would sing to you, that love letter that he would write to you. Let him speak those words directly to your heart. So over the next week or so, just spend time engaging with him, formulating that ketubah, that contract, for that marriage relationship. As we engage in worship today, we're under an open heaven. He inhabits our praises and he offers us to come into his presence. So I'd encourage you just to spend that time with him and enjoy engaging with him as we just worship together.